Welcome to the Boston University Profit Podcast, where students, faculty, and alumni of the Boston University School of Theology come together to share conversation and ideas. Hi, I'm Kathy Boss, and today I will be speaking with fellow Divinity student Fernando Ono, who, as an associate professor at Tufts University, is deeply involved in the field of public health. We'll be talking about the ways that theology and our studies here at the School of Theology intersect with the fields of public health and social service. So, Fernando, do you want to tell us a little bit about the two? You have two different jobs that you actually do in addition to going to Divinity School.
Yes. So, in addition to being a full-time student in at the School of Theology, I'm also a full-time professor at Tufts University at the School of Medicine, as well as I do a clinical practice at Boston Medical Center at one of the torture treatment clinics.
Yeah. So, and I work at a food pantry up in New Hampshire and also work as an assistant at a funeral home. And I know you're going to ask, but I pretty much do everything except for the embalming. So the last time we talked, we were one of the things we talk about a lot in terms of theology is justice, and especially here at Boston University, we talk a lot about social justice. And I also, of course, at the food pantry, think a lot about sort of equality and what's just in terms of oppression and that kind of thing. But last time we talked, we talked a lot about just some of the things that you face in your work with torture victims, but also through your work with public health. Do you want to touch on some of that a little bit?
Sure. I think, you know, part of the reason why I came into this program was because I was wrestling with some sort of real spiritual challenges in sort of the public health arena that I engage with consistently, which I've been in and part of for well over 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so, working in war zones and conflict areas, as well as at the edges of these vulnerable places, mm-hmm. One of the things that sort of has been remarkable to me is that it is hard or challenging for us to wrestle with sort of the spiritual landscape and the landscape of meaning and meaning making. I'm often called to attend to and address downstream health issues from an upstream reality. Mm. So I'm often called to look at the root causes of disease, morbidity, and mortality. Mm-hmm. And often that upstream root cause touches spirituality, but many of my colleagues and many in the field are very, there's a lot of fear and anxiety going there. Mm-hmm. And often it's framed in regards to what are the social determinants of health. Mm. You know, the reason why that person has active TB or has malaria or has seroconverted to HIV or is experiencing domestic violence. Mm-hmm. You know, the constellation of disease, morbidity, and mortality sort of presentations that I see are often couched or framed in very secular terms, right? It's like socioeconomic status, poverty. Mm-hmm. It is sort of violent governance. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, sort of natural disaster and climate change. And it's fascinating because the communities I actually work with have confronted me over and over again with, but there's meaning in this, right? They're not saying that, but there's this idea that, oh my God, there is a space of meaning making, mm-hmm. and a process of trying to understand why is this happening to me, to us, to my community, to my region of the world, and how do I make sense of my illness experience, mm-hmm. or how do I make sense of this epidemic, right. or how do I make sense of the experience of torture, mm-hmm. The experience of war and conflict, mm-hmm. in my life.
Yeah.
And often that touches up against some really deep issues on their belief systems, their values that are connected to a faith tradition,
right.
Or religious background. And many of my colleagues, including myself, are ill-equipped often to navigate these very spiritual landscapes while we are engaged in intervention and
right.
in intervention work.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is you know, I'm often in secular spaces
yeah.
or in spaces that take religion out,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that or quiet or seek to quiet religion for a lot of reasons.
Right.
And it's sort of that separation of church and state in a way. Church
mm.
and well, public health interventions, Fernando, are supposed to be this.
Mm.
And what are you trying to do?
Right.
You know, why would you want to bring the spiritual religious environment into a intervention strategy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how do you answer that when people ask you that question?
So it's complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's a really complicated, and this is part of the reason why I'm here and why I'm trying to wrestle with that and learn how to do that
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, I've been for many years doing all of this stuff around epidemiologic surveillance and monitoring and evaluation and intervention design and
mm-hmm.
And hardcore analysis around sort of patterns of disease, morbidity, and mortality. And it's new territory to embark in something that inserts
mm-hmm.
or reinserts or reanimates sort of not even just conversations but actions and activities that engage or take seriously a religious or spiritual reality in everyday people's lives.
Right.
And
right.
how that can influence and impact
mm-hmm.
How interventions are done or
right.
implemented.
Right. And also you're working, anything you're doing in public health is, you're working in a sort of a more communal, it's something that's happening not just to one individual
no.
or one
yes.
family. You really are working in
yeah.
a sort of community setting
mm-hmm.
where the factors of how people interrelate to each other and
yeah.
relate to their environment
absolutely.
And interrelate to perhaps
yeah.
oppressors or systems
mm-hmm.
all comes into play, which
yeah.
is really kind of what we're talking about
yeah.
when we're here at the School of Theology.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating that in public health, we often map things out in such an complex ecological system.
Mm-hmm.
That while the individual is there, we're often, as you said, we're working in aggregate of people, right? People
right.
are in aggregations mm-hmm. of populations or communities or populations.
Right.
And yet we take into account this ecological framework,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
However, often, you know, I'm in arenas where, you know, the spiritual and the religious realm are part of these arenas, but we, you know, it's fascinating to just be witness to the fact that we haven't integrated,
yeah.
Sort of why isn't spirituality part of our intervention designs?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we ask more often questions around spirituality or religious?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may in regards to, oh, how does that spiritual belief,
right,
impact,
yeah.
for instance, the use of the uptake or
mm-hmm.
adherence to certain medications at a population level? Or
right.
why aren't groups of people getting screened for vaccinations?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like there are... It doesn't mean that we aren't asking certain kinds of questions, but we haven't integrated well, I don't think, at
mm-hmm.
least in the practice that I'm part of,
mm-hmm.
The role of spirituality and or religious or religiosity or faith into intervention practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where my research has been right now in the refugee camps with
yeah.
survivors of torture,
yeah.
is to, can we reanimate this arena? So it's not just about psychosocial stabilization, a very secular approach
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
understanding how people remake meaning
right.
from a really horrific set of experiences in their lives
yeah.
That in a lot of ways are tied to and connected to how they see a higher power,
right.
how they see God, or who whatever constellation of religious... backgrounds that they come from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we walk toward, it's not even just seeing sort of religion and spirituality as perhaps the magic bullet, but also how do we wrestle with it? Because they may be very angry at their higher belief systems, right?
Right, exactly.
They may go, why did God do this, allow this to happen to me?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I, you know, in this work that I'm doing in these refugee camps and, you know, with other colleagues of mine, we have been really challenged by what does it mean to have a religious person on our research teams?
What does
it mean for us to critically think when we aren't well equipped to? What does it mean to bring in tools, you know, tools of pastoral care?
Right.
You know, what are spirituality tools when we're not steeped in a particular sort of religious field or tradition?
Right.
What does it mean to talk across, you know, and have interfaith in a religious dialogue? When we ourselves aren't, we separate that part of our lives
from our
secular practice. I don't know if you feel this when you're working in the food bank, but
absolutely.
I feel this all the time, the pressure to be like, Fernando, wow, it's interesting you're a div student, you know, I want to someday hear about your faith tradition, but we're here to do work in this particular, in a very specific way, and you know, I don't know how all of this God speak is going to distract us from sort of the core of what we need to do as public health professionals.
Well, there is that sort of split between like the rational approach and that we're also really committed to having a rational approach, having a scientific approach. And then there's sort of almost a fear of something that's too emotional or is going to maybe stir the pot up too much or make other people uncomfortable. And so I can totally see that.
And there's a challenge in really understanding what is the role of spirituality and religion in intervention practice.
So
when,
have we
studied it well enough to be able to know that that particular approach is going to improve the outcomes, the disease, morbidity, and mortality outcomes in populations?
Do you know what I mean?
Always often asked, you know, so Fernando, you're always wanting to bring in, you know, these spiritual, you know, folks, you know, whether it's an imam or a pastor, a priest or a nun, you know, they're going, so, but we don't know if that actually works.
Right.
You haven't tested it, Fernando. Like, what epidemiologic study design are you doing to understand whether or not that systematically improves the outcome?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm only testing psychosocial stabilization interventions that are very specific to brief treatment, you know, with a community health outreach worker model that, you know, it's a very secularized sort of study design that is utilizing and leveraging sort of mental health techniques and skills.
In terms of using religion?
Not necessarily using, no, not even. So I get a lot of pushback from folks when I say, oh, but, you know, for this small cohort of folks, I'm willing to entertain the fact that why don't we invite the imam into our conversations of what this would look like? Could we integrate in a community-based practice sort of spiritual religious healing that happens? This is why I've started to get interested in how to do that.
Right.
But many of my colleagues are suspicious.
Right. That's an interesting thing that you always come up against in the secular world. I mean, even at the food pantry, they're like, as long as you don't get too,
holy moly,
I can bring my, you know, the practices of loving and all those things, but not.
But we have to strip down,
strip away,
for instance, you know, they don't want to hear my Christology.
Right.
They don't want to hear my theodicy.
Yeah.
They don't want us to go through a process of understanding each other's theodicies.
But even on more like basic, even on a more basic level of, you know, don't get too touchy-feely.
Yes.
You know, don't get too, I'm going to pray for you, or you know, you are loved. Even
I liken it to a colleague of mine said, you know, Fernando, we're not going to, you know, sing kumbaya around a fire.
Singing kumbaya around a fire together as a group of people over the centuries, from everything that we've studied, does seem to be like a huge publicly, communally healing action in a wounded community.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I just finished writing a case study about the use of prayer in an encounter I had with a survivor of torture in Kurdistan, and how powerful that encounter was, you know. And I call for, yes, I know this is a case study, a single case study, but I call for at the end of that paper and at the end of that case study that I actually presented at rounds at the Department of Psychiatry, you know, I call for further studies that systematically understand. I know there are studies that are done to show the impact and the effect of prayer. But from my point of view, I was curious, well, what does that look like when? And who does that? Right. What does it look like for if we equipped a community health outreach worker, in addition to doing the work they have to do in regards to a public health issue or response to a public health emergency? You know, what happens if we equip them with pastoral care skills?
Right, right.
Is it possible? Right? Is it possible to understand, you know, intervention strategies that incorporate those skills
right
into a larger intervention sort of strategy that attends to and address the spiritual needs of a community when there is no priest, nun, imam, right? When there is no religious, because they've been killed or they've been taken out or they've disappeared.
Right.
Or they, the torture victim or the refugee or the person I'm working with finds themselves outside of religion because of what the corruption of who they are.
Right.
Of their bodies, of their selves, of their souls.
Yeah.
So I ask the question, quite frankly, is that, well, in lieu of having a religious or spiritual leader present, what can we do?
Right.
Is there a possibility for us to train?
Yeah.
Like, much like we train chaplains.
Yeah.
And much like we train pastoral caregivers and counselors.
Yeah.
What would it look like to do that?
Right.
You know, and especially in spaces where there is not enough of a capacity or there's so many resource constraints. Can we thoughtfully and critically think about how do we build that capacity?
Right.
If that makes
sense.
Yeah,
I mean, and the other thing that I'm thinking about is, like, you know, thinking about the people who are wounded themselves, you know, the communities, and it's bringing me back, and this may be a little bit off base, but, you know, the AIDS crisis, and part of, you know, this was a huge public health thing, but part of the meaning that was made around that was because that community created its own sort of spiritual action. It was sort of secular, not, but it was, I feel it was definitely a sort of spiritual coming together.
It brought it together.
Yeah.
I was part of that community in the late 80s, you know, and we... You know, you talk to anyone who was part of, for instance, Arlington Street Church.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
Or Metropolitan.
Or Metropolitan. Yep. Any of these places that, you know, many of us were outside of our faith traditions or were kicked out of them or marginalized by them or excommunicated from them.
Yep.
Yet we're able to come together, even though there was a lot of pain, anxiety, fear, hurt, mistrust of where we came from because of all the trauma of
that.
But, you know, in a way, AIDS was, you know, for better or worse, help us reimagine the spiritual space and maybe reclaim it.
Right.
I mean, my experience was that that helped us reclaim something that was so torturous for us, you know, coming from faith traditions that, I mean, I come from a very conservative faith tradition. And in my faith tradition, you know, if you had AIDS, you deserved it, right? And in a way, you know, this, right, the community I came into when I was here in Boston in the late 80s was able to, as much as we were hurting from our faith traditions, we were able to reclaim, embrace, and renew, really renew, and rearticulate a different way to whatever the higher power we believed in, each of us in those communities.
And do you think that that influences this impulse that you have to actually maybe bring some of that to other communities?
Absolutely, because, you know, it's been my experience, you know, that there is a possibility, right? We live along a horizon of imagination.
Yeah.
If we can be in that space, if we can liberate in that space, if we can support each other in that space and deeply love, completely radically love in that space, right? And that possibility, we can renew faith. Mm-hmm. We can reanimate it and reconnect to it.
Right.
And everyday people. I mean, I think of the early Christian church as everyday people coming together. It houses ecclesias.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I think of like Jenny Canoe's class. And I'm going, wow, we gathered.
Yeah.
It was precarious. There was a lot of issues. There was a lot of problems. But, we gathered.
Right.
And we were able to, really practice our faith in very interesting and fascinating ways, despite the precariousness of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Despite the challenge, the risk, the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that we weren't part of
mm-hmm.
a normative structure that allowed, us to be part, in.
Yeah.
And yet we did it. And I believe in that narrative. I believe I have faith in that process.
Right.
I have faith in our ability as humans to connect to each other deeply,
mm-hmm.
to build communities, meaningful communities, to reclaim, recast, renew,
yeah.
and reimagine
mm-hmm.
What it would be like
yeah.
to have this kind of faith community. And this is why I do believe in the power of understanding what is the role of spirituality and religion in public health intervention design and implementation.
Mm-hmm.
I take seriously the fact that it can be integrated, robustly integrated into intervention design
mm-hmm.
and implementation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that many of us don't know how in public health practice.
Right.
We become so secularized
mm-hmm.
and we become suspicious or fearful
mm-hmm.
of a religious element that gets introduced into our strategies. Because, oh my God, Fernando, if you bring that in, will that take up? What happens? You're going to exclude a whole group of other people.
Okay, yeah.
What happens?
Ask you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens if, okay, you do this for, you bring in all these Muslims and to do a Muslim intervention, but what about the Christian minority they're dealing with? Or what about Muslims who have been marginalized in their own faith practice?
Right.
And a lot of these concerns may be warranted,
mm-hmm.
but it's about how are we transparent about these concerns?
That's,
we shouldn't avoid thinking about
right,
how to incorporate
right.
spirituality and religion into intervention design.
Right.
We should perhaps actually wrestle with
mm-hmm.
some of the challenges, both ethical challenges,
mm-hmm.
the challenges of what is the point, the mission and vision of what we're trying to achieve or accomplish
right.
in public health intervention strategies.
Yeah.
But I would argue that, I work with survivors of torture
yeah.
and the communities and populations that I work with who are all survivors of torture, I think we do a disservice to them. If we don't bring in some level of connection
mm-hmm.
with spirituality and religion.
And do you see that as through creating spaces for community or one-on-one or a combination?
I think it's a combination. It's what will work in these spaces.
Yeah.
But I think, for me and what I've learned in Div School and what I've learned from my community of practice here
mm-hmm.
with you and with our classmates is to wrestle with what this is,
mm-hmm.
From an individual to a community.
Right.
How do we process? How do we construct? How do we deeply think through and feel
mm-hmm.
Not only our faith, but as we listen to each other people's faiths,
mm-hmm.
What do we need to learn? How do we evolve and grow? And what does that mean to engage in a dialogue, a deep dialogue of authenticity?
Mm-hmm.
Again, how do we hold that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we hold that in very secular spaces?
Right, yeah, how do you continue it out
right.
into the world? And also, so are there things that you, in coming to Divinity School, have found yourself sort of thrown into a wrestling posture with that sort of have risen up through the Divinity degree
mm-hmm.
that you sort of were unexpected for you as you were coming in?
Yeah, I think, I was expecting that I would be confronted with, or at least I would come up against
mm-hmm.
A lot of different issues, my personal issues, but also professional issues around
yeah.
The role of religion and spirituality in both personal practice and public practice.
Right.
But in regards to the professional practice I engage with, what's fascinating is the pushback I get from my colleagues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating. I'm often working in pluralistic environments.
Yeah.
Right. And what I'm learning here has helped me understand how to manage things like conflict and transform that conflict.
Right.
How do you engage more deeply in interfaith dialogue, which I wish we had more of, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But how to construct one's own theology.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to learning from the dean next semester of what does it mean to engage in a process theology.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the skills and the tools that I'm learning in Divinity School are helping substantiate the sort of the barriers, the fears, the anxieties, the pushback that I get in public health circles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really to figure out how to have those critical conversations. I mean, you know, part of being in the RCT program, right, has been, you know, last year, you know, when I was in mediation class or in spirit and conflict transformation, right? It's this idea of like, what does it mean to be in circle with another?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you walk toward another, you know?
Yeah.
It's being in Dr. Rambo's class on trauma and theology. You know, for me, I've understood like the upper room that she so beautifully writes about in a very specific way, but it's to be to confront my own like religious history with the upper room, my own religious history with Holy Saturday,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Dr. Rambo has been compassionate yet rigorous in this space,
right.
to both push and embrace
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
how we critically think about not only our own faith traditions, but how we encounter that in a landscape of trauma.
Right.
And so in each of these moments that I've spoken about are each of these sort of academic relationships with, you know,
mm-hmm.
wrestling with some of this that I'm trying to understand in a public health landscape.
Right.
When, you know, because when I leave this building.
Yeah.
Right? I'm in a very secular world that is, you know, hyper-scientific positivist.
Yeah.
That believes in capital T truths, right? If you're exposed to lead, you will get lead poisoning, right? And, you know, that we're striving and driving for associations and causal effects.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you explain the Holy Spirit? Right? How do you explain the power of prayer?
Right.
You know, and how do you, in a way, dance with a colleague
mm-hmm.
or a series of colleagues on a research team to encourage and invite a conversation around spirit and religion.
Right. It's kind of that you said earlier, I think, something about we sort of have this sort of continuum of imagination,
mm-hmm.
this sort of space of imagination
that
actually creates flexibility in us and allows us to go into the world and create
mm-hmm.
meaning in new ways. I don't know if you said all
of
that,
yeah.
but kind of that was what I got out of it. And that's kind of what I'm getting when you're
mm-hmm.
saying here is that if what you're bringing is the capacity to
mm-hmm.
imagine yourself
mm-hmm.
into new meaning, sort of imagine
right.
yourself wonderful, then that has to be practiced.
Right.
But
right.
it's an imaginative exercise.
Right.
So
right.
it's sort of like, it's
yes.
sort of this weird sort of cycle
yeah.
of like, but imagination,
it's
dynamic. And
it's
yet,
dynamic.
Yet imagination is like critically fundamental
yeah.
to creating meaning.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Meaning is critically fundamental to
yeah.
healing.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
To and to connecting to another
absolutely.
Person.
And it's precisely that. I, you know, at some level, yes, we have to have that come to Jesus conversation if you've had sort of trauma from your faith tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And yes, if you are no longer, you know, Catholic or Christian or Muslim or whatever, you know, I get that because I come from those spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, it's an invitation to go, okay, maybe part of, this is also part of our own healing, is to engage in this imaginative space,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To be in this dynamic relationship, go, you know, I was really hurt by that tradition,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can go there. But what, so where can it move?
Right.
Where are the possibilities? Because is that truly an intractable space?
Yeah.
Given the fact that I get that you're hurt from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, what does it mean to, like, sway and move it a little bit?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or go, you know what, I can't go there, but I can maybe go over here in a completely different way.
Right.
Do I mean it's sort of like, and I have no, there's no, like one set of things you can do, right?
It's that's sort of, actually one thing. I mean, God, I gotta tell you that is like one thing I'm like learning in divinity school. I'm like, I came in thinking, well, I don't really think the way everybody, you know, thinks about right. Christianity, and I'll right. be like, oh, yeah. no, there's no. like at least as many ways to think about religion yes. and spirituality yes. and yeah. Christianity as yeah. that. I mean, taking Wesley Wildman's class on constructive yeah. theology,
yeah.
the imaginative spaces that have to be created and nurtured for yeah. these theologians to do their work,
mm-hmm.
and yet at the same time sort of test them with their experience,
yeah.
like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to bring it into the public health arena, bring mm-hmm. it into the social services arena so it can be tested,
yeah.
so you can try it out, so yeah. you can see, okay, how do these ideas and this imagination of God and a higher mm-hmm. power or not, you know, whatever you want, ground of being,
whatever
you want to call it,
whatever
interconnectedness.
It is. Whatever it is.
How does it play out, you know,
yeah.
in the world?
Yeah, and I do believe that at core to it, right, I do believe in whatever the higher power is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But it is about how, and I believe that each of us makes meaning in this world,
yeah.
whether it's you know, Mother Earth is, you know, or if it's Jesus Christ our Savior, or
mm-hmm.
if it's Muhammad, or if it's the Buddha. Like, I feel like we all come to these roads of meaning making.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is to sort of engage and authentically engage and honestly engage and openly engage, you know, and recognize that we can take multiple tools
mm-hmm.
To try to attend to and address a deep suffering.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, you know, what I'm getting at in all of this
mm-hmm.
with you,
yeah.
with our classmates and our cohort that I love dearly,
mm-hmm.
Is to figure out, okay, there is a possibility. And that's my hope.
Yeah.
And my hope is that, you know, we aren't stuck in intractability. That there is, as long as I'm willing, right, to be with you
mm-hmm.
and recognize that you and I belong with each other,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, and that we are in this relationality and a relationality with whatever our faith tradition is at this moment in time,
mm-hmm.
that we can actually go towards the good together, right?
Right,
like, I
exactly.
feel like that's towards the light.
Yeah.
And that light will lift us, even though we may feel the depths of suffering.
Right.
That
right.
we may experience and still engage with the wound.
Yes.
That we may still have a trauma
yeah.
or traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And that we know many of our fellow brothers and sisters in our class encounter or still are part, like, wrestling with.
Right, right.
But to know and recognize and feel that we're present with each other means a lot.
Yeah.
I think.
I
mean, that's me.
I think so, too. And I think that's,
you know,
where I think about, like, that whole going back to sort of the idea of spaces of community to come together
yeah.
and make meaning. I mean, that's what
yeah.
we're doing here at the School of Theology. It's like
yeah.
there is this space of coming together
yeah.
and wrestling with meaning.
Yeah.
And in wrestling with meaning,
yeah.
we're kind of making it. We're getting
yeah.
dirty, you know, you're, there's tensions, there's
yeah.
and we make it. And that's, you know, if you can bring that space into,
mm-hmm.
you know, what happens?
Yeah.
And how can
mm-hmm.
we bring those things
yeah. absolutely.
Into, and how sort of break down some of these, like, really firm boundaries
mm-hmm.
between
mm-hmm.
church and state, as you said before,
yeah.
you know, church and
yeah.
science, church and state,
yeah,
because
whatever
they're
it is.
They're a little
yeah.
more interwoven
yeah. and dynamic.
And dynamic and fluid yeah. than,
and for all of its good and bad, right?
Yeah.
To recognize that there's gonna be really cool and fabulous things, but there's gonna also be some really dark and challenging
that's
things.
That's right, yeah.
And that's what we're here for.
That's right.
And this is, I mean, I feel like this is part of how I feel my purposeful life is
mm-hmm.
in public health practice
mm.
is that like to be in that space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be in community that tries to think and feel through
mm-hmm.
Solutions or interventions or practices that try to, you know, deal with suffering.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we will solve it,
right.
but it's like we're trying our best to deal with suffering,
right?
Right,
exactly.
It's like,
that's all we can do.
Right? And
yeah.
we do our best, and often I have been in part of intervention designs and strategies that completely fail.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look back and I tell my own students, that that's where my learning has been probably the deepest and where I've evolved the most and why I came back into school to study divinity. Because each and every time for me, the deepest challenges, my deepest failures have been about meaning, you know? And so how do we return to meaning and how do I understand that and learn that and evolve with that? Part of that is doing this. Right? And being witness to you, being witness to others in our class, in our classroom settings, to listen, to deeply engage, and to evolve together. Because I don't think you ever stop evolving. At least I don't.
No, my goodness.
I always feel like I'm always not. But it's like, you know, I'm in spaces where we know how to do it the best way, and this is the way we do it, and this is the strategy we implement. And I'm often going, well, you know, maybe this isn't. And what does it mean for us to actually have what you said, like the more of the fluidity and the flexibility.
Without being like a splooshy puddle that you can't deal with at all.
Because it becomes too amorphous.
There
needs to be some strength, but there's got to be a balance.
Exactly.
The idea of what is this balance?
And
what does this
and
look
it's,
like?
And sometimes it works and
sometimes
it doesn't.
Right?
So before we go, I just wanted to ask you one last question. And you kind of answered it, so you don't... But just what is your vision for what you will do, sort of where you'll take this divinity work that you've been doing, this making of meaning that you've been doing in the school? What's your ultimate vision for it?
So my prayer that I try, you know, part of it is part, you know, the calling and the mission I have in ministry to figure out how to attend to and address and sit with suffering in a different way in public health landscapes. I mean, that's my my calling has been always in public health, and the majority of my career has been in public health. And for me, coming into this has been, how do we reanimate meaning in public health spaces in a different way, away from this sort of biopower positivist sort of, you know, disease orientation approaches where you have a host and an agent within an environment that has all sorts of causal and associative properties to it, but really sort of deeply to reintroduce and remember, sort of you know, and also reanimate the spirit in that. You know,
because it comes out of a place of such love and care for people. It's just that that doesn't necessarily get inspirited, imbued in it.
And so that is, you know, it's not just adding something onto an intervention design, but truly, you know, dynamically, relationally, process, like whatever you want to sort of describe, how you want to characterize or describe it. But it's a process and engagement, deep engagement with what I profoundly believe is each of our faiths, you know, each of our spirits, and each of our practices, whether it's religious or not, you know, what is that, this meaning, you know, and that to me is theology. Right, is to help us get there. And to bring that into those spaces. So
that's awesome. That's beautiful.
That's where I would be at.
So maybe we'll see a study or a book out
or whatever.
We'll see.
I write under a pseudonym, so you won't see it under my name. But you know, but it's sort of like, you know, for me, what has been so beautiful about our community, for all of the challenges also that we know of, is the fact we get to do the privilege of the fact that we get to do this with each other. I've learned, I mean, we survived the first year together. But I've learned so much. And not just, you know, I remember getting blown away by Dr. Knuth's class the first year and being like, oh my God, this is amazing to know all this stuff, the content stuff. But it was also, like, for me, just as important to wrestle with, well, is Jesus divine and human? Like, for us to sort of have these conversations and circle together. to be in the halls going, Fernando, I don't agree with what you said. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, mm-hmm. Fernando, wow, that was interesting. Or, wow, I have no clue what you were, like, meaning
at all. Right, or those just, like, intense moments when something, like, grabs you and you just, like, feel
absolutely
a flip or something happen inside of you. It's
absolutely.
Like, oh. Yeah.
And I can name, like, where each of the folks that I've encountered in our classrooms and that I feel have become part of, like, almost a family, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, this is we co-learn together.
Yeah.
And we grow and evolve together. And that's
huge.
Right? That's enormous.
That's huge.
And in a way, that's what I want to bring back into the public health arena.
That
you know?
Kind of action. That kind of way of interacting with one another.
Learning with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And that reanimates our spaces so that our interventions aren't these staid, you know, sort of like, you know, almost robotic-like interventions that we just drop down into a particular community because we believe one size fits all because we do population designs. And, you know, granted I've been trained and enculturated in that, but, you know, I do feel like we can deeply learn from the communities that we work with.
Yes, for sure.
And engage with them in a deeper way, a different way.
Yeah.
That, again, brings us to the horizon of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will deal with all the challenges that we see in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe this, you know, I advocate for peace, even though I'm in such profound spaces of war and conflict.
Right.
But, you know, people don't see a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if doing this kind of work that we get to do here can prevent that.
Would
right?
be nice.
Right?
It would be nice.
So
that can be
that's
our
the
prayer.
Hope, right?
Our
the
hope.
Prayer, the
yes.
hope, right?
Yeah.
The mission, the vision, the calling.
Vision. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you
so much.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the BU Prophet. We encourage you to check out our website at buprophet.com, where you can read submissions such as poetry, articles, essays, and check out photographs by fellow students, alumni, and faculty. We encourage you to submit your own work and join the conversation. buprophet.com.